Questions and Answers on the Bible, Chapter 93, The Unpardonable Sin, 1902. A friend of mine wants to know what is the sin against the Holy Ghost, and would like to have some scripture references on the subject, for his own benefit. Certainly I will give your friend some scripture references, for I could not answer the question otherwise. The Word of God is our only guide, and nobody is authorized to speak anything but that Word. In order to get a clearer idea of the sin against the Holy Ghost, which is the one unpardonable sin, I will quote a part of it. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub the prince of devils. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, told them that a house or a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, and showed them that his work could not possibly be of the devil. And then he added, He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this world, either in the world to come. We see a marked contrast between all the people and the Pharisees. The people accepted Jesus as the anointed Son of David, but the Pharisees rejected him. Whether Jesus meant to indicate that the Pharisees had already sinned against the Holy Ghost, or whether he spoke to warn them of their danger, we have no means of knowing, and it is not important that we should know. The important thing is to know that the unpardonable sin is the conscious, willful rejection of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. This is plainly indicated in the text, and others corroborate it. The same thing is stated in, It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. This text is very simple, and no one need have any trouble over it. It does not say that no backslider can be reclaimed, but it does say those who reject Christ cannot be renewed unto repentance. And this is so because neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Note that those spoken of in this verse have been almost the same as in heaven. They have had the richest Christian experience, knowing the Word of God, and tasting the powers of the world to come. They have been fully enlightened. They have experienced all that God has for men, yet they have turned their backs upon it all. It is impossible to renew such to repentance. Why? Because they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Do not fail to notice that the text goes back of forgiveness. It does not say that these cannot be forgiven, but that they cannot repent. That is the worst possible case. Of course they cannot be forgiven if they cannot repent. And they cannot repent, because they continue deliberately to reject Christ, whom God has exalted with his own right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Lastly we have, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose you, shall be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done desperate to the Spirit of grace? Here there is willful rejection of Christ, and treading him underfoot. So, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, for them. The reason of this is plain. It is because Christ is the only sacrifice. Whoever rejects him has nothing to hope in or for. But with this text we must not fail to place. Him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. There is sacrifice and atonement for the sins of everyone who comes to the Lord Jesus and abides in him. There remains no sacrifice for sin, only when the one provided by the eternal Spirit is despised and trampled underfoot. And mind, this trampling underfoot must be done willfully, with full knowledge of who he is. The princes of this world, who slew the Lord of glory, did not know what they were doing, and therefore there was forgiveness for them. Judas basely and willfully betrayed innocent blood, and even his prayer became sin. How much more than what has here been set forth may be involved in the sin against the Holy Ghost, I do not know, but one thing is sure, and that is, that no one who is mourning over his sins, and is fearful that he has committed the unpardonable sin, has been guilty of it. The one who has committed that sin is not penitent. Nobody has a right to say of another that he has committed the unpardonable sin, and nobody who has committed it ever accuses himself of it.